Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
On today's show,
Glenn McGeek here from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for January 27th, 2011, episode 64, sponsored by EZSignsOnline.com. Good morning, horse world.
She grew up and became Zenyatta. Everybody watched when she spread her wings. And now she's the queen of the sport of kings. Zenyatta, right? You feel the crowd swell. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, you hear the crowd yell. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, if everyone says, we love you, Zenyatta, and good luck today.
That we round up the doggies, we mark them and brand them and bob off their tails. Round up the horses, load up the chuck wagon, then throw the doggies out on the north trail.
Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little doggies, it's your misfortune and none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little doggies, you know that Wyoming will be your new home.
I'm Denny Chapman. I live in Ocala, Florida, and I'm a Wild West entertainer.
Oh, shot dead. On today's show, it's all celebrities all the time. Celebrity matchmaking with Zenyatta and who? Celebrity cowboy Denny Chapman. Celebrated holistic healing horsewoman, Dr. Jen Oakley, and San Antonio stock show and rodeo hall of famer and celebrity, Jake Wells, and wait for it, the celebrated humor and wisdom of our very own Jamie and Glenn.
Don't wait too long.
All right, Jamie, who the heck
Glenn.
Is the baby daddy?
Oh, my gosh. Yesterday they announced who Zenyatta's baby daddy is going to be. And I love the fact that actually on her blog, she's talking about dating him. And I'm like, honey, you don't want to do that on the first date. We don't recommend that. What are you talking about dating? You're too good for that. Anyway, she has been matched up. Now, initially, what I really wanted was for her to stay at Lane's End and breed to AP Indy, who's just, you know, classic of all classic sires. What they decided to do is breed to a son of AP Indy, Bernardini. Yay, Bernardini. That is the luckiest horse in the world right now. Just a brief history on Bernardini. He's the son of AP Indy out of a mare that won almost $1 million. So he's got phenomenal bloodlines. And if you're wondering why you know the name Bernardini, it's because he won the Preakness in 2006. Now, of course, that is not what you would know the name Bernardini for, is for the Preakness. And why you know that Preakness, because that's the Preakness Stakes where Barbaro was injured fatally in the end. So that's the reason, sadly, you know Bernardini, because he won when Barbaro lost. But he also came in second in the Breeders' Cup, and he won the Eclipse Award for 3-year-old of the year in 2006. And I believe the reason they bred to him, I mean, obviously they've studied conformation and they've had all sorts of different you know, I guess the conformation and the bloodlines and just everything that goes into it. He was the leading freshman sire last year. So when I say leading freshman sire, what that means is, you know, freshman first year of his runners. So he had the most group winners and stakes winners of any other horse. So that's why I think he's kind of the hot upcoming sire. He's a son of APNA. His bloodlines are great. His confirmation is phenomenal. So that's going to be Baby Daddy. And he is actually at Darley Stables, which is used to be Jonabel Farms, which is where Affirmed stood, and $75,000 breeding.
Listen to you go. We don't need no race consultant. We got Jamie Jennings. Jamie the Race Jennings.
You're still on the names. No, I happen to love Lexington, and I love racing, and I love the bloodlines, and I love all that kind of stuff. So that's why I pay so much attention, and because it's just interesting to me, and what people choose, and who they choose, and who the hot sire is, and all that. I just find it fascinating. I'm a blood horse subscriber. I get the magazine.
Well, you did very well there. Now I understand it, and yesterday when I saw the announcement, I went, "What? Who?" You know, because it wasn't. Anybody, the horse wasn't anybody that had been on anybody's radar, at least in the press. So
right.
they managed to surprise everybody a little bit with that one, I think.
Well, I think it was ultimately a surprise, Glenn, because nobody had there were no rumors being tossed around at all. It was kept so hush-hush. And I guarantee that they've visited the stallion. The Mosses have been looking at a bunch of stallions. And the little dark underbelly of Lexington has just kept it such a secret from the press that really no names were tossed around. So my question is, his stud fee is $75,000. Do you think that they're going to breed Zenyatta to Bernardini for free? Because that would up the stallion worth just ultimately.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm sure there's some kind of arrangement on a split of the baby, too, don't you think? That this is going to be an unusual deal?
I doubt it, because Bernardini is owned by Sheikh Mohammed, and, you know, you've got the Mosses who can clearly afford the $75,000 stud fee, but I doubt that they want to get in, you know, so to speak, into bed with Sheikh Mohammed as far as a partnership goes. I'm curious, though, will they sell the baby or will they race the baby? They've got to race it, right?
You know,
that's what I want to know.
You know, you got to think with the Mosses, they might just race the baby. If it was anybody else, I would say maybe not, but boy, they are so into the sport of racing and what all of that entails. I can see them raising this baby and racing it and having its own blog and being, you know, doing interviews on Horses in the Morning, the baby. Yeah, I can just see all of that happening.
Yeah, I do too. I can't imagine that they would, you know, a lot of people, when you get a hot sire like this, and you know, with a world-class number one mare of all time, you think you'd run it through the sale and you'd just get millions of dollars. But I really don't think that they're interested in that. I really think that they're into, you know, keeping the baby and, heck, maybe not even running it. You know, that's the honest-to-God truth, is that filly will be worth more as a broodmare, even if she never races, because of the bloodlines. So they might not even ever run the horse.
Yeah, filly, I just...
I've already decided. It's a filly.
I thought I missed the memo.
Yeah, I guess I did just assume that it was going to be a filly. I don't know why I feel that way. But write it down that today is January 27th. It is 7 o'clock my time, and I just said Zenyatta's going to have a filly. We won't know till this time next year, so...
We want to know what everybody else thinks. Post on our Facebook page whether you think it's going to be a boy or a girl. We want to know, and whether you like the pick or not. We also want to thank Ann Svensson from Sweden. She posted there the original YouTube video of Zenyatta being sold at the September 2005 yearling sale.
Oh,
so she posted
cool.
that up for us this morning. Thank you for that. And believe it or not, Sweden is finally... And she says that they're a little behind. I didn't know they were this behind in getting their movies. They're finally getting Secretariat. It'll start and premiere tomorrow in Sweden.
Oh, my gosh. Just now?
I know. Yeah. Didn't we just announce that it's out in DVD here?
Yeah, it came out on DVD yesterday. So here, and they're finally just getting it. We could just send you guys one, then you wouldn't have to pay to go to the theater. Oh boy! Hey, one more comment, Glenn. You can just reset. I've got a vent for just a second, and Jennifer, you can listen to me here.
Okay. Close your ears, Glenn.
Yeah, close your ears, Glenn, or call. You know. What I want to say is, you know, we've been pushing, Jen, and I think you were in agreement that we wanted APND to be the baby daddy. Is that correct?
That was my favorite choice, yeah.
So what they do, you know, if you look at APND, his daddy is a horse that we've all heard of named Seattle Slew, okay?
Right.
Seattle Slew is the daddy. Guess who the granddaddy is? The granddaddy of him on his female side, Maryline, is Secretariat. So you take a horse, Secretariat is your grandfather, Seattle Slew is your father. You've put all those phenomenal bloodlines together and created, you know, APND. So why wouldn't you breed to APND? Why would you make it a second generation to all of that? Why would you get further from that bloodline when you still have APND, who's like 20 years old? He's not going to be around.
I have the answer for you. The broodmare sire. Bernardini's dams line. That's why.
Uh-huh.
Because think about it. You're... Zenyatta, because and I buy into this, that the lineage for running can be carried by the mare line, not necessarily the sire line. I think they're going for the powerful mare line. That's what
I think. Yeah, and the mare line, her name is Cara Raffaella. And she is by a horse named Quiet American, who goes back to Fapiano, who then goes back to Northern Dancer. So she's got a great bloodline as well. And then
she was also a great athlete.
Right. She won over $1 million herself. So that could be. But I mean, come on. APND? You don't get better than that.
See, I'm okay with the Bernardini line. I'm okay with that because I really do think that they – if they ignore Zenyatta's female line, she's a mare and she's an athlete mare, I think they need to breed to that rather than going all in the sire line.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess I was pretty pleased with it because there's about a million different bloodlines that they could breed Zenyatta to. And that's why I really liked it, you know, that they did actually stick with the APND line, which is great. So
you can't go wrong there, no.
Yeah, exactly. You can't go wrong there. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out,
and
I guess.
He is handsome. Bernardini is handsome.
Oh, well, they're all gorgeous.
There are some amazing sires out there, but I'm sorry, they are butt ugly. That doesn't take away from their athleticism. They're just hard to look at.
Yeah, they were not going to pick a butt ugly horse for Zenyatta's baby daddy. It had to be a good looking horse, for sure.
We won't
mention
any names, but... Bernardini is very easy to look at. He's a handsome guy.
Yeah. Hey, on a completely different note, you know how we talked about who's going to be the next team coach for the eventing team, and we've had all these people put their name in the hat, including Jimmy Wofford, Philip Dutton, Bobby Costello, and also David O'Connor. And to me, it was totally logical that it would be Jimmy Wofford, but it seems like maybe that might not be the case. So if you want to find out and get the inside skinny, Eventing Radio interviewed the O'Connors this week.
Yeah, they had I got to listen to it. It's not out live yet. It'll be out a little bit later in the day. So, you know, it'll be out a little bit later today, but I got to listen to it, and it was a very fascinating interview. She actually had both Karen and David on, and Max, their groom, and they were talking about, you know, what would happen and what would Karen do, and, you know, how she would retire off the team and probably the international scene. And it was a half an hour of very candid conversation about what would happen.
And that's kind of what you get with Chris. And that's the reason I said, you know, it just seems to make sense that it would be Jimmy Wofford. I mean, obviously he's a phenomenal coach, but also you wouldn't lose Karen and you wouldn't lose Philip. So, you know, to me, that just seems like the easiest way to go. But you don't think so, huh? Not after
I
listening?
Don't Who knows? I mean, it's, you know, it's really ultimately up to the association and the team. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with it. But it was definitely worth taking a listen to if you're interested in eventing at all. So that'll be at eventingradio.com a little bit later today. And there was other good parts of that show, too, that she did. And I don't want to get into it because we don't really have time, but it was a fun show. It was well worth a listen to at eventingradio.com later today. Speaking of shows, I also wanted to mention that I did a show on the Stable Scoop show this week that is out currently. It just came out this morning, and it was a one-on-one I did with Anna 20 about animal communication. Is it real? We spent an hour talking about whether animal communication is real. I'm a bit of a skeptic. But I got to tell you, even if you're a skeptic about animal communication, take a listen to this interview. She is very convincing, very intelligent, very bright, and, you know, did not come across as the woman in the gown in front of the crystal ball on the boardwalk at all. she just was very fascinating, and I think it was a good hour. If you're interested in that at all, go to stablescoop.com and take a listen to that show. Well, right now we have coming up with us somebody that we have has been on the Stable Scoop show before a while back, and now since then has become a TV star and has been doing all kinds of things. You know, now we can say when we went once knew Denny Chapman. I'm surprised actually he still talks to us after all his fame and fortune now. hi, Denny, and welcome to the show.
You guys are funny. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Now, Denny is a professional announcer. He's an equine entertainer. He's a trainer. He's a clinician. He's a mounted shooter. I got to ask you a little bit about that. But last year, you were on a TV show on the History Channel, weren't you?
I sure was. It was really neat.
Oh my
God. It was called History's Top Shot, and it was quite the adventure.
Are you still there, Denny?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. We lost you there for a minute. So tell us about Top Shot. What was the premise there, and how much fun was that?
It was a lot of fun. Top Shot was a reality-style competition television series on History Channel. And, I'll give you a little background. I was planning my competition circuit for the Cowboy Mounted Shooting Association. I'm a professional competitor in the CMSA. I'm a sponsored shooter, so I travel around with my horse and compete in this great sport of mounted shooting, which hopefully we can talk about a little bit. And I saw a banner ad for Top Shot. Top Shot, do you have what it takes? Something like that. And I thought, well, you know, it kind of got my interest, and I looked at it, and I read about it. It was an application process for reality competition and for shooters. And I thought, well, you know, I'm a mounted shooter. I have competed previously, like 10, 12 years ago, in some other sanctioned shooting sports. And I thought, what a great way to bring some attention to my sport of mounted shooting. And you know, I'll be honest with you, I didn't expect to go in there and clean up or anything. But, I just wanted to have a good time and get some publicity for my sport and my sponsors. And, yeah, man, it was a blast. No pun intended.
Well, Denny, you're being a little – you made it to week 8. You were there for quite a while before you got booted. And, you know, we have Tammy Sarantz is our co-host on the Western radio show we do.
I know Tammy
and,
well. You bet.
You would have to, I think, bumped into each other. But she always jokes around that she can't shoot. She couldn't shoot the side of a barn when she's off the horse. Now, this mounted shooting or this shooting you did on this show, you had to do all different kinds of shooting. So was it,
I sure
is
did.
It, and, is it difficult
yeah,
it was, to do when you're stationary?
Yeah, it was kind of funny. My buddies, all my mounted shooting buddies said, how come you cleaned up with that AR-15 and the Beretta and those military rifles? You didn't do so well with the cowboy gun. And the thing is, I honestly never shot any live ammo out of my cowboy guns before the show, but I had quite a bit of experience with some of the other firearms through the United States Practical Shooting Association. I was a three-gun competitor about 12 years ago when I lived up in Kentucky. So I shot a lot of those AR-15s and semi-automatic handguns. And, yeah, as Tammy can tell you, it's a totally different game, absolutely.
Well, now, JD would think she might know you from your days over at – what years were you over at the park, at the Kentucky Horse Park?
I worked there. I started there in June of 1991, and worked there up to about September of 06. And the last 3 years I was there, I was the singing cowboy guy doing the one-man Wild West show there in the Breeds Barn.
Hi, I knew you. Well, I saw your picture and your name, and I was like, I know that guy. And Glenn's like, oh, yeah, you've seen him on TV. No, I was like, no, I know that guy. I went to the KEI school in 1996. I was a student at the horse park.
No way.
Yeah, I did the Mustang Troop. I did all that afterwards. So I was there for quite some time and still go back all the time, and I actually – remember you from before, but I also remember you being the singing cowboy, because I remember meeting you up at the Breeds Barn, and you had, like, the whole cowboy gear on, and I was like, why is that guy dressed like that?
It's who I am, yeah. That's cool. Well, you
that's
can have to Facebook me. We'll have to catch up.
Ah, that's so funny. Yeah, I absolutely loved my time at the horse park, and I don't think that, did you
too.
Work in the Breeds Barn in, like, 96?
When I started there, I was an assistant to the public relations director, so I did a lot of media relations and things like that my first couple of years there. But I missed the horse stuff. Actually, then I went to the Mounted Police Department. Man, I had a lot of neat jobs, I'll tell you. I was a Mounted Police officer. They sent me to the academy in the whole nine yards. I did that for a couple of years. Ended up in the events department, coordinating horse shows and things like that, and the Breeds Barn and the Best of the West show and all that stuff. I did that the last 7 or 8 years, I think, that I was at the park there.
Okay. Well, like I said, we'll catch up. Oh, it's such a great place, and what a cool opportunity for you to basically touch in on every aspect of the horse world in one small world, you know, right there in the horse park.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
I mean, I essentially had hands-on experience with over 40 different breeds of horses, and how many of us can say that? How cool is that?
Right. Exactly. Well, that's cool. Okay, see, Glenn, I told you I knew him. I was like, I know that guy. No, I mean, I know that guy.
Now, Denny, you've done a lot of things, as you said, throughout your lifetime, but nothing cooler than why I contacted you yesterday, and I know you're laughing right now.
So excited.
Jennifer and I are huge, huge fans of Pawn Stars, and that's not Porn Stars. That's Pawn Stars. We are huge fans of that show.
That's right.
Thank you, yeah. That's the pawn shop out of Las Vegas. And I saw the picture you posted on Facebook of you and Rick from the Pawn Stars show. How did that come about?
Well, I was out at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, and the SHOT Show is the largest firearms convention in the world. And my mounted shooting sponsor, Taylor's & Company Firearms, that's taylorsfirearms.com, if anybody wants to look up their awesome website. They have been sponsoring me for a couple of years, and actually my friend Deke Rivers and I designed a couple of new guns for them for our sport of mounted shooting, and they flew me out to Vegas to do publicity for them in their booth during the show. Well, History Channel got wind that a lot of us were going to be there, because that Top Shot show was a shooting show, right? It's a shooting convention. One thing leads to another, and they think, hey, what a great publicity opportunity. So Ian Harrison, the winner of Top Shot, who also ended up getting a really cool media relations job with Crimson Trace Company, who does lasers for guns, target lasers, things like that, set up some great publicity stuff while we were out there. And one of those opportunities was a private get-together with Rick Harrison over at his world-famous gold and silver pawn shop. And we actually got to spend quite a bit of time with Rick, got to know him one-on-one. It was really kind of like, one regular guy to another. And he is a really, really neat guy.
All right, I want to ask you, I have so many questions, because I truly this is our favorite show right now. But we have a caller that wants to talk to you first, if you don't mind. We have,
go for it.
I think his name is Paso Kid out of Florida.
Okay. I think I know who this is.
Is this Paso Kid out of Florida?
Yes.
Well, you're on with Denny.
Denny, how Denny, this is Paso Kid. How you doing?
Hey, buddy. How are you? Nice to talk to you again.
Well, it's good to talk to you. I just thought I'd call in and tell the world to thank you for the help that you've given me in mounted shooting. Probably one of the greatest sports that I've ever undertaken. Really started a couple of years ago, and through some of your excellent tutelage, I've had some very nice success at the mounted shooting range. So I just wanted to thank you for that and say again thanks, and I enjoyed seeing you on Top Shot.
Thank you.
Yeah, it'd be a great experience. So hopefully, are you going to be shooting tomorrow at the Foxtrotter?
Yeah, I sure will, and look forward to seeing you there. And what a nice surprise hearing from you this morning. I appreciate you calling in.
Well, nice to talk to you again, Denny. And any of the listeners out there that are looking to do mounted shooting, they couldn't do anything better themselves than to get a hold of Denny and take a couple of lunch.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pastor Kidd. We appreciate it.
Thanks. That's Jerry, and Jerry came to me some time ago with his wonderful little Pasofino horse. We talked about all these wonderful breeds we've worked with in the past, and he had discovered the sport of mounted shooting, spends part of his time a year in Florida, and I was lucky enough to be able to work with him, and what a great guy and a great horse, and just having fun in this sport that we love so much. So, Jerry, thanks again. I know you're probably still listening. Appreciate you calling. That was a nice surprise this morning.
Yeah, it was. That was one of the great things, Denny, about us doing the morning show here live is those kind of things happen all the time, and it's something that we've never been able to do in the horse world is do a live morning show like this. So it's really cool. But now, speaking of shows, okay, first of all, back to Pawn Stars. when you see the pawn shop, first of all, it looks huge. And second, it's always packed. Is it really that full of people all the time?
It is always that full of people. I can tell you that much. The store itself, as you walk in, is small, at least the display area. Rick and I had quite a long conversation. Rick actually owns the whole city block there.
Wait a minute, Denny. I thought from what I heard and from what I saw last time I was there is that this is right beside all the massage parlors that are lined up. Does he own all of those too?
I honestly I didn't pay much attention to what was
just checking
the store, so I can't really comment on that. And I'm probably blushing right now because I had no idea. The limo dropped us off, and we were ushered in past the crowds, and that's it. So what's surrounding him, I have no idea. But we did spend about, an hour and a half, couple hours with him there. And the store is, the display area of the store is quite small, actually. I mean, you could get a couple hundred people in there, but it looks huge on television.
Yeah,
everything looks bigger on television, you know? Rick and I are about the same height. We're only about 5'9". It was funny. I got off that Top Shot show and people, recognized me around town. I cannot wear my cowboy hat to the store. It takes me 4 hours to buy a loaf of bread because folks want to stop and talk, and I'm not one to brush people off. I enjoy, my 15 minutes of fame could have been gone a long time ago, so I enjoy that. But, yeah, everything looks a little bit bigger, people included, and it's not a big place. But he has a huge storage area attached to his pawn shop that's probably 3 or 4 times the size of the display area, the retail area of the pawn shop. And he has a lot of room, and he's getting ready to – I think he's going to expand soon.
I heard that, too.
It's a lot of work. And, Rick's a hardworking guy. He's been pitching this show for over 4 years, and he's so smart. He's a really smart guy. He came up with this concept before the History Channel did, and look at it. It's like he's got what?
It's
like
their
10
top,
million
it
viewers
is their
a week
top,
or something.
It's their top show by far. I mean, it's
absolutely
huge
for
them. This is a big moneymaker for them, and I got to imagine the production costs aren't that great. I mean, aren't that high because it's one location. So. Now, did you get to meet Chumley?
Chumley wasn't around that day, but I met Corey, Hoss, as you probably know him from television. Real nice guy. As a matter of fact, Corey was at, we had kind of a private club gathering at the Palazzo one night there in Vegas, and Corey was there, and some other celebrities showed up, which was kind of neat. that were there in conjunction with that convention we were at, or just hanging out in Vegas, I don't know. But we got to meet with other folks, and we got, let's see, I'll drop a few names. How about Steven Seagal? You ever heard of him?
Oh,
he was
around
that week. Of course, Colby Donaldson hung out with us. he hosted Top Shot, and Colby Donaldson from Survivor. I think he was on the Survivor show 3 or 4 times. Really nice guy. He really kind of fits the hero status, you know, that they've given him. Real, real nice guy from Texas. Matter of fact, Colby and I and Ty Murray and the McCord brothers are all going to be in an article in Cowboys and Indians magazine in April, I think. But I think it's going to be out.
That magazine.
The issue is going to be out in February, and it's about cowboys on reality TV. So grab a copy and see what they say about me.
That's
Jenny,
cool. That's a great magazine. My dad subscribes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my dad subscribes, and then he packages them all up and mails them to me.
Oh, great! You got a great dad.
Yeah. I know, he's pretty awesome. So yeah, that'll be good. That's a very classy magazine, and they
it
do
is,
some really
nice.
Interesting articles. I mean, and it is cowboys. I mean, I think George Strait's been on the cover like 10 times.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
Sam Elliott. Oh yeah, some really cool guys.
Yeah.
Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
Yep, definitely some cool stuff. So you know, all these things I've been through and these experiences are. I'm so blessed to have experienced this stuff and to have this publicity continue. And I've actually had some calls from some major networks to talk about some, maybe work on some projects and things. And it's just amazing.
Wow.
You put a guy on TV and everybody wants to piece of the action and start getting calls. It's just really cool.
Take it while you can, my friend.
Yeah, you betcha. My mother reminds me often that I've lived my dream several times over, and if it all ends tomorrow, I'll definitely be a happy cowboy.
Well, I know,
sure.
Denny, we can say that we knew Denny, and we had him on before he was a big star. So,
hey, will you have me on when I crash and burn and nobody remembers who I am?
Yes,
no,
that's us,
not,
Denny.
Not
that's our line.
You're a true friend, Glenn.
Denny. Jamie and I crashed and burned a long time ago. Now we do this show. So there you go.
Oh, gosh. I don't know, guys. This has been so fun, though, this morning.
Thank you. And will you come back with us, seriously? Will you come back with us on a fairly regular basis? We can chat with you all morning.
You bet, bud.
All right.
Just holler at me anytime.
All right. Thank you, Denny. And we should say that you can be found at DennyChapman.com. And also, do you still do the blog over at DennyChapman.blogspot.com?
Still do the blog, and I'm on Facebook, the whole nine yards. Hey, I don't tweet yet, but I'm looking into it.
your Facebook, you're good. You're fine. So that's
right.
DennyChapman.com.
DennyChapman.com, you
betcha. I just friended you, Denny, so let's
oh,
go.
Oh, really? Okay. Well,
yeah.
I'll hop on my laptop and we'll get to reminiscing. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Bye, Denny.
Okay.
See ya.
As cowboys like to say, happy trails.
Happy trails.
I told you you'd like him. He's a great guy. He's a lot of fun.
What? Yeah, he's a sweetheart. He is a sweetheart. Well, hey, sorry,
little puppies. Which one was that?
That was Boomer. He's the barker of the two. but let me just tell you about our sponsor. Today is Easy Signs Online, and you can visit our friends at Easy Signs Online and browse our unique website to see sign options, custom made, different styles. They have a step-by-step ordering process that allows you to choose your sign options and, unlike other ones, see the pricing up front. You don't have to call the salesperson. So from vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall nameplates, farm entrance signs like mine, you can have your sign needs covered. That's easysignsonline.com. You can also get a pair of vehicle magnets for as low as $49 or stall nameplates, pet memorial markers, and they're long-lasting and maintenance-free, and you can personalize it, submit your color photos from the graphics. So always free shipping promotion going on this week for any order over $100. So check out the website today, easysignsonline.com. That's 1-800-640-8180. And we have our next guest on the line. And this is, you know, one of our favorite monthly segments. We all learn a lot. She sometimes makes me cry because she will get down to the nitty-gritty of what you're actually thinking when you're thinking it. And we have right now, welcome the love doctor, Dr. Jen from happilyeverafterranch.com. Good morning.
Good morning, you guys. How's it going back east?
Good morning, Dr. Jen.
Good morning.
Let's see.
Dr. Jen makes me more sensitive.
Good.
I like it, a man.
You need
a
help.
Good, sensitive man. That's what you need to be around horses, Glenn.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Jen, you know, like we talked to you about last month, we talked to you about kind of, you know, making sure that your partner is the correct partner. And by partner, of course, we're not talking about husband-wives, people. We're talking about horses and humans. Dr. Jen, you're kind of a guru in equine-human relationships. And just tell everybody a little bit about what you do before I get into our topic today.
Sure. Well, one of my passions is helping humans connect with each other, but my other passion is helping humans connect more deeply with their horses so that they can have the horse love relationship of their life, and that can spill over into the performance aspect as well. And the other aspect of the work I do is horses helping people gain the insights into their lives so that they can have success in all arenas of their life, from the barn to the boardroom to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that phrase. Well, so here's what we wanted to talk to you about today. You know, in the grand scheme of things, obviously my day yesterday wasn't that bad. But to start out with, you know, I had a whole lot of appointments booked back to back. I got pulled over by a cop. My iPhone quit working. I had to drive to 4 different stores to get it fixed. I was running around, going crazy. I was stuck in traffic. I was so frustrated. And then at 4, I had an appointment to ride my horse. And it's like that whole day builds up inside you, and you're so angry, and you're so frustrated, and you're so just like, the day did not go the way you planned it at all. And, you know, when I go to ride my horse, I want to enjoy riding my horse. And I want to be able to, no matter what happened throughout the day, just be able to let that crap go. You know, because we all know that what we have in our hearts transfers onto the back of that horse and goes straight through them. So, you know, how do you kind of get at peace and center yourself before you go to ride your horse when you've had just a total crap day?
Well, that's such an awesome question, because a lot of people don't even think to ask that question. They just show up and they expect to feel like a little Energizer bunny on the back of their horse, and then they wonder why their horse is wigging out and spooking at everything and won't cooperate, and they blame the horse, and then because they're already on edge, they take it out on their horse, and you hear somebody screaming and whipping their horse over in the round pen.
Yeah. And what's funny, Dr. Jen, is that everybody else around them knows it's them. But nobody tells them it's them. It's not your horse. You're the idiot. And I've seen that enough to know that I'm the idiot. that if my horse doesn't want to work for me, it's my fault. So, you know, I want to figure out a way to, you know, just kind of clear all that out. Can you help me with that?
Yes. And that's the first step is admitting that you're part of the problem, you know. I love that, because
it's
instead of
the
12-step
truth
program. I once knew a lady who always had a couple horses, and she was forever going through them and getting rid of them because the horse was the problem. The horse was the problem. And as you said, everyone around could easily see it wasn't the horses, it was her. The horses were reacting to the energy that she was carrying. And that makes perfect sense, because horses have evolved as prey, not predators, as prey, to be highly sensitive to their environment, and that's what keeps them alive. And so they're like these finely tuned dials to energy, and you come in with that distracted or aggravated and irritated, intense energy, and they immediately pick up on that. And what does that feel like to them?
Yeah, it feels like you're a ball of, you know, negativity, really.
Exactly, and that doesn't feel safe to them. So they would really rather be, yes, that feels very unsafe to them, very unbalanced or very distracted energy or very high energy. Even actually if you're just really, really excited about something that happened that day, that's unnerving to them too, simply because it's not the space that they live in. They live in this grounded, most of the time, mind you, right? They live in this grounded space of peace where they're present in the moment. And it sounds like what happens when we show up in these distracted and sort of aggravated spaces is we're no longer present in the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're left with the argument we had with our boss, with our coworker who wouldn't do their job, with our spouse who pissed us off this morning, Glenn. And
hey, I'm listening here.
And our teenager who told us off, you know. And as long as we're stuck in the past or not in the present, and horses are always in the present moment. And so the very first thing we want to do when we want to join with our horse is to come back to the present moment. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, because that's where they are. That's where we should be. So I'm assuming you have us.
Join them. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm assuming you have a way to help me how to do that. And our listeners, too, because you know what? I think most of the people that ride horses that I know are all women, and women are unbelievably emotional creatures, be it positive or negative. We wear our emotions on our sleeves. I know when I'm in a fight with my husband, he walks in the door and I can't not say anything. So I have to say something immediately, like, we got to talk about this. So is there a way to kind of do that with your horse?
You know, that's another really good question, because horses, above all, they need you to be congruent, which is for you to say exactly what you would say to your husband, which is, we need to talk about this. If you would come to your horse, and we're going to talk about how to center and get back into a nice space, but what, since you brought up this other piece about being congruent, there's something that happens when we show up and we try to put the happy smiley face on, but we're not feeling happy. And when you're around people like that, it's like you're picking up two messages. There's a smile on their face, but you can feel something isn't right. And that mm-hmm. is a space that drives horses crazy, because it's not trustworthy, because they can tell that you're not being congruent. And so, you know, one way you can handle this is to just sit next to your horse and just start talking to them about how you really feel. And I can almost guarantee that 5 minutes later, after telling your horse your problem, which sounds a little silly, you're going to feel better, because your horse's energy is better than yours. And your body, by standing in the space with your horse and just becoming congruent by saying what your feelings really are, 5 minutes later, you could feel the stress shift and change and just sort of dissipate. And so if you come to the barn in that bad space, one of the options is to go stand by your horse and just tell them how you really feel for about 5 minutes and just allow all the energy to dissipate. What would that be like for you?
I like that. You just have to make sure, people, when you're doing this, look around and make sure nobody's standing around you, like in a stall behind you or catty corner to you, because they're going to think you're insane. But this is a healing thing, right?
Yes. You know, and I have 35 acres, and one of my favorite things to do is to go cry with my horses, because it's so cathartic, and they're so good at holding the space and helping shift the energy. But I've often wondered, as I'm out there wailing, if my neighbor's 35 acres can hear me.
I got a call from them yesterday.
Yeah.
So if you're at a sporting barn, you know, take them to a private corner. And horses don't need you to be happy. They need you to be congruent. And that means that you own what you're feeling. The horses that respond worse, like when you see horses really being crazy, it's often because people are not telling the truth around them. They're acting one way, but they feel another way, and horses really respond poorly to that. So yeah, that's one great way to just get back in the moment. The other way to get back in the moment is to get back into your body, because most of the time when we're running around and we're distracted and we're aggravated, we're irritated, we pop out of our bodies. And that feels very dangerous to the horses, because it's like you're not home. If you're not present in the moment and you're not present in your body, it's like nobody's home.
Yeah.
And there's this giant being acting without awareness, and the horses can feel it and they sense it, and that feels very unsafe to them. Does that make sense?
You know, kind of. And I'm trying to relate that, like, when you're kind of out of your body, you said you're doing stuff, but you're not really there. That's how I feel when I've done stuff with my horse while I'm talking on my cell phone. I'm doing
yes.
stuff, but I'm not really there. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Exactly. It's that, only it's less conscious. You're not aware of it. Like, that's a moment when you can see that you're aware of it. But it happens a lot when you're in these other feeling states and you're just not aware of it yet. But your horse is very aware of it. And has maybe it's never happened to you, but one way horses will tell you that that's going on is they'll bite you.
Yeah, that's happened.
Like, hey, over here now. Be
yeah,
with me in the
a,
moment.
That's now, a great point. But
I wanted to ask, I wonder how many people are like me, where when I actually, and Jennifer will attest to this, going to the barn, because I have, you know, we've talked about this before, I have severe ADD. And
mm-hmm.
Jamie now can attest to that after working with me for 2 months. But when I go to the barn, it's one of the few times that I don't think about work, that I can just hang out, brush the horse, do whatever, and I just don't think about life out there. I just seem to be able to get away. It's the only place I can get away from life and thinking about work and all that stuff. Is that true of a lot of people?
Yeah, I think that, you know, so many people have horses in their lives because horses give them that zen moment, because it does help them step out of their brain, all of that mind chatter and the mental gymnastics that people are doing, and it helps them be present in their bodies in the moment. Although you never would have described it that way, that's what's happening. You've become fully present in the moment in your body, and you are allowing nothing else to intrude on your space, and that is deeply healing, because most of us don't spend our days in that space. And that's a space for healing, that's a space for happiness, that's a space for health. And so that's why so many people are attracted to horses. And yet, often, you know, real life intrudes for many of us before we've spent much time with our horse. And so it's really good to take a few moments, as Jamie was saying, and be able to get into that space if you're not already into that space. And so one of the best ways to get back into your body and become present is to start breathing next to your horse. Because if you're focusing on something in the present moment, and that could be talking about your feelings to your horse, or it could be simply standing with your horse, you could put your hand on their heart space if you want, or you could put your hand on their wither, and you can just take like 5 huge, big, deep breaths, and imagine sending all of that aggravation, irritation, all the fight you had, all of the thoughts that you have, and just send them into the ground. Just send them away.
Okay.
And take a few moments to be present.
Now, see, that totally works. And I'll tell you why. If you, I deal with a lot of kind of stressed out, high energy horses. And I have found that, you know, say you're lunging them or you're riding them and you come to a halt. If you take, and I want everybody listening to go try this with their horse, and you have to do it honestly with yourself, but when your horse stops or you're lunging them and they come up to you or whatever in the round pen, wherever, and you take a big, deep breath, like a the horse.
Oh, they do too.
They do too. It's crazy.
Yes.
And then you realize what a deep connection that they have with you, because if you sigh, they sigh. It's like you relax and you let that energy out and that tense out of your body. They do the exact same thing.
Yes, yes. Oftentimes they're great mirrors for us, and so they're influencing our energy, we're influencing their energy, and we can take the lead. In fact, obviously we want to take the lead in managing the energy. If we're dealing with these tense or high strung horses, we want to be that beacon of calmness. And so if you are working with those horses and you come in that agitated space, you can imagine it just builds on each other, and the outcome is not very pleasant. And so just taking a big deep breath anytime things start to go a little haywire can completely transform the moment from something that's going down the wrong road to something that's coming back to a place of peace. And another way that you can share that kind of energy that I see all the time out at my barn is with yawning. Another way to transform energy is to yawn, and horses a lot of the time will yawn too. And if you're paying attention, you'll find that just as you said, just as you were going to yawn, your horse yawns. Or just as you took a big deep breath, your horse takes a deep breath. And in those moments, you can truly see that you guys are in harmony and that you are a unit. And the more you can become aware that you are a unit, the more you can achieve that harmony that we're all and that connection that we're all seeking. But as long as you come in that distraction in your head, that agitation in your body, there's a huge gap between you and the heart of your horse. And then you're not really being partners. You're doing to them, but not with them.
Okay.
Where's the harmony?
I got
you. Yeah.
That's awesome. That makes total sense. And so to recap, you know, if you're stressed and you're tense and you're going to transfer that to your horse, go up to them, talk about your feelings. Talk to them and tell them what's going on, and it'll calm you down. Another thing you do is you own your feelings and go out there and, you know, sit with your horse and kind of breathe with your horse. Is there any other thing that you recommend before we have to let you go?
Those are just two really great places to start, and there's always lots more to play with, but I suggest people go play with those things and see what they notice. It's actually okay to vent with your horse, because horses, as long as you're not venting at them, like, you know, you're not taking out your, you know. But it is okay to throw a tantrum about your life in their presence, because then you're getting congruent. And it would be really interesting to play with that and see how your horse responds, because depending on your horse, 9 out of 10 times, it will be really interesting to see what they'll offer to you, because oftentimes they'll show you something, some sort of support that will immediately sort of start to break that up for you and help you dissolve that. And if they don't, they might show you something else about what they think about that. And you can take that little message and you can chew on that and take your horse's wisdom and see what they want you to do about that. So that's another way to play with this and take it deeper with your horse and say, you know, pretend my horse is my therapist for the moment and see what they have to say about this. So,
well, Dr. Jen, thank you so much for joining us. We're running out of time here, and I wanted to remind everybody you can hear a whole lot more of Dr. Jen at Horse Tip Daily. She's done a bunch of different tips with me, and it was so nice today that you had Jamie as a subject and I didn't have to get and that she could end up crying by the end of the session. So thank you for that. But you also have your website at happilyeverafterranch.com. And I want maybe Jennifer could make a note of this. Can we get you back? Because guess what's coming up? Valentine's Day. And we also know that you deal with people and singles and things. Can we get you back on Valentine's Day to be part of our special Valentine's Day episode?
That would be fabulous. I would love to join in the play on that day.
Yay. Okay, good. Well, we'll get you back on that day. I think it's a Monday this year, so we'll have to have you back. Thank you, Dr. Jen, and enjoy. By the way, it's called Happily Ever After Ranch. You shouldn't be out there crying your eyeballs out all the time. People are going to think you misnamed.
Well, you know, even the experts have issues, and we have to face them. And as long as we face them, and if we can face them with our horses and the people in our lives, then we can work through them and move on. And that's the essence of Happily Ever After, is facing them. So.
All right, good. Thank you, Dr. Jen.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll see you guys next time. Have a great week.
Bye.
Thanks,
well,
Jen.
The song today is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only iPhone application that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all their information, from their vaccines to worming to farrier to dentist, all that stuff, all together and easily accessible in one place, right on your iPhone. And that is if your iPhone is currently working, unlike Jamie. You can also track weight and get reminders of important events and do all of that in one place. There's nothing better. Give it a try at pocketstable.com. People, it's $3.99. You spend more than that driving to get your iPhone fixed. So pocketstable.com. And I thought, Jamie, today, seeing we're going Western, there is no better song to play than from Trish Lynn. You can find her at trishlynn.com. This cowboy's mine.
I got a cowboy in love with me. My baby knows just how to play. Rides rough and wild and it don't hold back. Ooh, when it looks at me, my heart beats real fast. Yeah, my baby loves me, he's so fine. Yeah, my baby loves me all the time. Yeah, my baby loves me, the cowboy's mine. Talk about. We can dance all around the floor. Yeah, that's the kind of man I'm looking for.
And you can hear a lot more of Trish in tomorrow's episode as we do the music of Trish Lynn, our once-a-month special musical episode tomorrow. It is recorded, so you can't call us tomorrow. If you need to call us today or want to chat about something, give us a call at 347-637-3238. And, of course, you're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you by EasySignsOnline.com. For all of your farm sign needs, I am Glenn the Geek, and we're here with Jamie Jennings and my wife and producer, Jennifer H. Did I get it all? Did I get it right?
I think you did pretty good. You
yeah,
covered
you
it.
Know, the other thing I wanted to mention about the conversation where with the love doctor, by the way, I'm so glad she's putting you on the spot today. Your turn.
It seems to always be me now. She must be tired of you.
That's it. So, but one of the things Jennifer does drives me insane when I'm trying to get a hold of her, but this is the reason she does it, is when she goes to the barn, she leaves the phone in the car. She won't bring the phone, her cell phone, in the barn with her because she thinks that, yeah, because of that whole distraction, you know, being in the moment, when she's in the barn, she wants to be in the barn with her horse. And I've started to do that now. I don't bring the cell phone in the barn with me. And it is it's like a little bit of freedom, you know? It's kind of cool that way.
See, I'm totally different. I have my cell phone in my back pocket. Well, I ride in jeans and half chaps, but I keep my cell phone with me when I'm riding, simply for the fact that if I need help, then to call. I mean, I'm not with anybody else most of the time when I'm at the barn, so I try to keep my phone as close as possible. And it's like, I have a neighbor. I'm like, if you ever see me on the ground, don't worry about me. Just dial 911. I'll be good. So, you know, a lot of times when you're out there by yourself, you have to have that cell phone with you, and you have to keep it handy just in case you do need help. So I guess there's two ways to think about it. I wish I could dump it in the car and walk in the barn.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point. If you're alone at the barn, that's one thing. If there's lots of other people around and you're riding with somebody, then, you know, that's a different story altogether.
Hey Jamie, that's what the airplane mode is for. You can still use it, but you can tell it to stop calling you.
That's a good point.
That's a great point.
Everybody
needs
to be free from the cell phone sometime.
Well, our next guest, I'm sure he is out there riding with his cell phone in his pocket. We'll find out. Our next guest is Jake Wells. Jake is going to be talking to us a little bit today about team penning and ranch sorting, which, to be honest, Jamie and I don't know a darn thing about. And he is with the United States Team Penning Association, the national governing body for team penning and ranch sorting. Welcome to Horses in the Morning, Jake.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. This is Western Day for us here. We had Denny Chapman on earlier, who I'm sure you've bumped into at one time or another. And Denny's a friend of ours here at the Horse Radio Network, so it's very nice to have you on today. Now, are you the president of the association? Is that what I was told?
That's correct. I'm president of a member-owned the United States Team Penning Association. We're actually, not like our name, we're actually international. We have members from Canada and certain parts of Europe and South America as well.
Now, team penning, as I understand it, is one of the newest of the disciplines, and so it's just you're getting your legs now, but it's growing fast. This is becoming very popular right now.
Yes, it is. Team penning's been around since the early 90s, and ranch sorting has taken off since the late 90s, and ranch sorting is really popular. Team penning is popular in certain pockets of the country.
So tell us the difference between the two. What do you do in each? We have listeners from all over the world that are in all different aspects of the horse world. So, you know, there are some like Jamie and I that probably have no idea what you're talking about. So give them an outline of each one.
You bet. Team penning is a three-man sport. Normally, we operate in a 100 by 200 arena. The cattle are bunched at one end, and there will be 30 head of cattle. They'll be numbered 1 or 0 through 9 3 times. So there will be 3 zeros, 3 ones, 3 twos, et cetera, in the herd. They're bunched at one end with what we call a foul line about 30-35% of the way down the arena. At the other end of the arena, there's a small pen that is basically 16 by 24 with a 10-foot gate opening and a wing on it. When the judge is ready, they call and you cross the line. When you cross that foul line and approach the cattle, they announce a number, and say your number were 8. You have to go into the herd and select those three head of cattle that are numbered 8, drive them to the other end of the arena, and put them in the pen, and do it in less than 60 seconds.
Which all sounds very easy. That sounds all very easy when you say it, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. That stuff is impossible and ridiculous. I thought maybe, okay, well, they did the three cattle with the same number so you could at least get one of them. You got to get all three of them in 60 seconds?
Now, you can pin less than that. Of course, there's penalties for pinning less than the three head. And actually, at the end of the competition, which is either two goes and a short go or it's three full goes and a short go, the one who has the most cattle penned in the shortest period of time wins.
Okay.
The people who are really good, what we call our open riders, can normally pin three head in the mid to low 30s.
Seconds?
Yes, ma'am. That's fast. They go through the herd like a hot knife going through butter.
I can't count to 10 that fast, let alone find the cows.
Oh, my gosh. It's
great fun. It's a little wild and a little fast. A lot of people prefer ranch sorting. Ranch sorting is a little more controlled. Ranch sorting is two 50-foot round pens connected by a 12-foot opening. There are 12 head of cattle in one of those pens, and they are numbered 0 through 9, and then two that don't have numbers. We call them blanks. It's a two-man team rather than a three-man team, and you approach the cattle from the empty pen. When you cross the line, which is the opening between the two pens, the judge gives you a number. Say your number were 7. You have to go in and bring out number 7, then 8, then 9, then 0, then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 in order.
Oh, my God.
And leave the two that don't have numbers in the pen. Once again, you've got 60 seconds.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry. You want to leave two, you're going to herd all of them out in numerical order by the cert of the number that you get, and leave two cows. Now, I don't know much about cows, but I do know that they're herd animals, and they would really like to be with all the rest of them. So
Jamie, they don't sit and stay very well at all.
That's what I was just thinking. Okay, now obviously you must have obviously some mad skills, but a phenomenal horse to do of this activity. So the horse is a major factor. You couldn't do it on your feet, that's for sure. So what do you look for in a horse with that?
The majority of our horses are what we call cutting bred horses, quarter horses. We have people that do it on all type horses. We have people that do it on there's a number of paints that do it. Some people ride Arabians. We have a few thoroughbreds.
What? Wait a minute. We couldn't get our Arabian to walk in a field by himself and not freak out. How the heck are you going to get an Arabian to do that?
Well, you have to remember that there is a pretty good section of the Arabian breed that are used for cutting horses.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, they are, and they do adapt very well to the pinning.
The one that caught my ear was thoroughbred?
And occasionally you get a thoroughbred. The problem with the thoroughbred is more applicable to the pinning than the sorting.
That's
because
cool.
The sorting is a lot closer up.
Okay, so again, they're cutting bred. So what are the mental and physical characteristics of a good cutting horse?
Well, for us, we want a little different type cutting horse. We want a cutting horse that we say is not quite so hot. And what we mean by that is one that will recover quickly and settle back down. Because in some of these pinning runs, if you say you have a cow that you don't need that shoots out of the herd, you may have to race down to the other end of the arena and get that cow and bring it back, obviously, as fast as you can. You're operating on a 60-second clock. And you want that horse to recover and be able to settle back down and move easily back in the herd without exciting the herd. So it takes a very special temperament type horse to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would imagine. And then physically, obviously, they have to be fast. They have to be quick. But they've also got to be... Yeah, I would imagine big, powerful quarters, you know, and super fast. I can't imagine that the quarter horse wouldn't be just the perfect horse.
The majority of our riders do ride quarter horses.
Wow.
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay.
Now, is this done in conjunction most of the time? Do you have your own competitions, or is this done in conjunction with rodeos, or how does that work?
It's a mixture. We have the USTPA has cooperative agreements with Denver Stock Show, San Antonio, and to a certain degree Houston. And besides that, we put on another 6 or 7 national competitions a year, as well as we have regionally sanctioned competitions and what we call co-sanctioned shows, which are in cooperation with smaller clubs around the country. So we've got we've got this available at every level.
Cool. Okay. I mean, that's neat.
Okay, question. How exactly does one, like, okay, I'm here in Phoenix, Arizona, and I think I want to get into team penning and ranch sorting. So what is the beginning process for getting involved in your sport?
Well, one way you can do it, you can go to our website, which is USTPA.com, and we've got on there Ride with a Mentor. You can click on that button and send us your information, and we'll have someone in your area contact you about local competitions, local practices, where you can find a horse, where you can find someone to ride with you. That's the easiest way. The other way is look in your community horse newspapers there and see what they've got as far as ranch sorting or team penning practices in your area.
So I think my husband would love this. So I got to look. And tell us your website again.
www.ustpa.com.
That was easy.
There we go.
Yep.
So it sounds like you guys are real user friendly as far as new people coming to the sport, which is awesome.
We love new people because, I mean, that's where we grow.
That's the future. Are there divisions? So I'm guessing there are divisions for different levels of competency, open or professional or amateur.
Correct.
Are there
divisions divided up by age of rider, size of horse, things like that?
Yeah,
we use a number system, and our riders are numbered 1 through 7, 1 being a ranked novice, 7 being pretty much a professional, could do this for a living if they wanted to. And we combine those numbers into different size classes. We'll have an open class, which is just what it says. It's open to any number of riders that you want to get in. Then we normally have a 13, which means that you could have a 7, a 6, and a I'm sorry, you could have a 7, a 5, and a 1.
Oh, because it's a team. That's
11.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and then we have an 11, which you might have 2 5s and a 1 or you know, 2 4s and a 3. Then we have a 9. Then we have a 5. Then we have a 3. And the 3 is for, obviously, 3 beginners.
That's the really fun class to watch because the cows are smarter than the riders.
It's lots of fun to watch, and we usually make that a draw class where people who don't know each other can draw up together and you can find new friends and new teammates.
Now, that's really cool. Now, this sounds like the kind of sport that should also involve tailgating and barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There's lots of that that goes on. There's
good.
Lots
no
of that.
Beer,
that goes
no
on.
Beer at all.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you know, this is a family-oriented sport, you know.
Yeah, just checking. I think you're lying.
maybe.
Fantastic. I'm excited about this. I'm going to check this out. And so USTPA, and then go to the segment that says Ride with a Mentor. I can't find it. I'm looking. All right. I'm going to do this because this is on my bucket list, is team penning and cutting.
If you can't find it, just email us. We'll set you up.
All right. Good. I will. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You know, you guys, during our world championships that we had last year and we'll have again this year in West Monroe, Louisiana, we do have a celebrity penning. If you guys could find some way to get out there, we'd love to host you in. And
we'll mount you, Jamie.
Y'all can have a ride on your own right there. We bring
oh,
in
there
local
you go,
personalities.
Jamie. That's terrific. I love that.
Yep.
Yeah, Jake, you know what I thought you were going to say? Is I thought you were going to say, if you guys could find some celebrities and send them out here.
No, you would more than qualify.
thank you, Jake.
Thank you. It's been great.
You bet.
All right, thanks for having us on. And good luck this year. That's Jake Wells of the Team Penning Association. Well, there you go, Jamie. You're a celebrity. You can go out and do team penning. We could laugh our butts off watching you.
Oh, my gosh. I want to try it so bad. But that's just so funny. It's like, we do a celebrity division. You guys could find. And I'm like, any celebrities? I'm like, no, find your way out here. Oh, wait, no, I didn't get that at all. That's so funny. Yeah, Louisiana is a long trip, but I got to try that because also on my Western, you know, bucket list was barrel racing in Texas. And I did get to do that because my cousin's kids finally got some barrel horses. They live out there. So the other thing is cutting and team penning, because I really think that even though, you know, we can ride jumping horses and we can ride these big event horses and go over and down through the ditches and, you know, just be ridiculous, I really think that I would fall off a team penning horse. The way that they cut so fast and just go, I think I would fall off. And I just want to test my ability, really, is what it boils down to.
Now, is that something, Jennifer, that you'd want to do, too? You're going to be down there riding in the celebrity team penning?
In a millisecond.
Yeah, I figured.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I'm salivating.
Oh, my gosh, let's go. Let's do it. That'd be so fun.
I got a call yesterday. I got a call yesterday. I want to tell you real quick from a guy, and I'll have to look it up to find the name of it. But he actually, if you were at the WEG and walked around, you saw they have cutting horse. They have a cutting horse machine. It has a fake cow and a fake horse, and you sit on it, and you actually get to do, like, fake cutting. And, well, he's revised this machine, made it smaller and more compact, and actually made it a vending machine that they're going to put at arenas around the country where you can sit and you can pay $1, $2, or whatever it is, and actually ride this cutting horse machine. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Wee, that's awesome. That is, like, that's a... That's the best vending machine since, you know, there's a place up by me where I lived in Atlanta that had a vending machine with worms in it to go fishing. So you get your worms and then go cutting all at the same time in the same place.
God. Oy vey.
It's true. They'll make money on anything, man. I'm telling you. They will come up with anything. That's awesome. So, you guys, we are going to head out today and go to Philadelphia. I have to ask, what should I wear? Because I seriously am going to come dressed like a snowman if you don't tell me what to wear.
Well,
should
I'll tell you what. I didn't want to tell you this because I was afraid that you'd just cancel out and not come. So I'm actually looking it up right now for you. Hold on one second. We're getting there. My computer's taking a long time to think about this. But the snow is done today, so they just got about 10, 12 inches, not much.
Oh, my God, what?
So the snow got done, and it looks like I'm bringing it up right now for you so we can tell you what the weather's going to be. It looks like, except for this little thing, Arctic Clipper that they said was coming in on Sunday, it shouldn't be too bad. No, actually, we're going to be in the 30s every day. Now, Friday into Saturday is a little snowstorm that might be coming in. But other than that, it should be great. And mid-30s, it'll be fine, nice and toasty warm for you. So I wouldn't overdress if I were you. You probably don't even need a hat and gloves.
Okay, time out. Time out. You just said that I had to read between the lines, Glenn. And what I just thought was that it was going to be freezing and snowing and snow on the ground. Is that correct?
Yeah. If you happen to go to Drudge Report right now, which is my favorite news site ever, Drudge Report, don't look at the headline that says Northeast on snow lockdown. Don't just ignore that. And don't read the headline that says storm shatters New York City, Philadelphia records. Don't read that. And don't read the one that says thunder snow. 1 foot of snow in 5 hours. And don't read the one that says D.C., 12 hours to get home from work. And, you know, you don't want to read any of those articles before you're heading to Philadelphia tomorrow.
I'm going to cry. It's horrible. And they don't even have any hills to ski. That's the worst part. You can't even ski there. You have to just just deal with it, 2 feet of snow or whatever, and, like, just walk around. Like, you don't get to ski. I should bring some snowshoes. If I had some, I would. I'm very upset with you, and I am going to I don't know what I'm going to do, but you're going to get it. You're making me go to Philadelphia when I'm currently in 70-degree temperatures.
I didn't think about the location too well. I do want to say, though, have you ever experienced thunder snow?
Let me just tell you, no, okay? You know me. I grew up in the South. So I don't even know what thunder snow is, besides it would be a really good racehorse name.
That's true. That would be. It is the most incredible thing. Jennifer and I have experienced it a few times, and mostly in blizzards, where you get a thunderstorm in the middle of a blizzard, in the middle of a snowstorm. It is the oddest thing to hear thunder and see lightning when it's snowing. It's
really
just
cool.
It is really cool. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Can't wait. That's awesome. Great. Woohoo. I'm done here. I got to go pack. I got to go shopping for some, like, galoshes and hat and gloves. Long underwear. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. But, hey, I do want to thank all our guests for joining us. What a fun show. Denny Chapman. And I like that he's, like, this fancy, famous cowboy. And you're like, you were on Pawn Stars, dude. Do you know this guy? Do you know this guy? He brought out your inner child, your inner child, and obviously thanks to Dr. Jen from the Love Doctor Happily Ever Ranch.com, and also thanks to Jake Wells, Team Penning. What a fun guy. What a cool sport.
Yeah,
I
got to say that we had, I think she's a friend of yours on Facebook today, say, Rebecca wrote, best show ever this morning. So apparently Rebecca was liking the show today. So thank you, Rebecca. We appreciate that. Of course, you can follow us on Facebook, and we want to remind everybody that we will be back tomorrow in the form of a recorded show I did with Tammy on the music of Trish Lynn. And then Monday, Jennifer, Jamie, and I are going to be together for the first time in 3 months recording a show live together from the Equestrian Trade Association. And we should have a lot of fun guests lined up by then, and we'll be coming live out of there, providing everything works right. I'm knocking on wood right now. So you can look for us back here live on Monday morning. But listen in tomorrow. We think you're gonna like Trish Lynn. You're gonna like her music, and you're gonna like what she's doing for the world of young cowgirls. So that's about it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio.
I'm sick, Glenn. I can't go. I can't go. I'm really sick. I just developed a fever.
Jennifer, did we pay her this month? I just wanted to check. Has she been paid yet this month?
Oh, I'm better. I'm better. I'm all better. Woo, that fever broke. I'm sweating, but it broke. I think I'll be okay.
You're killing me, Jamie. You're killing me.
If you miss
say goodbye,
the live show,
Jamie.
You,
say, Jamie.
Listen,
Jamie,
to
say,
course,
I'll see you tomorrow with the snow, Glenn and Jennifer.
I'm just saying goodbye to our listeners. Goodbye, listeners.